The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, we heard during the 5 of 5 of all these celebrities paying tribute to the late Hugh Hefner of the Playboy magazine, porn sites, mansion, all that sort of stuff. And we have a couple of guests with us. Dr. Gail Dines is Professor of Sociology and Women's Studies at Wheelock College in Boston. She's the author of Pornland, How Porn Has Hijacked Our Sexuality. What do you think, Gail, Hugh Hefner's legacy is?
Well, it's absolutely stomach-churning for any feminist to have to listen to all these men and some women saying what a hero he was. He was actually a well-dressed, well, very wealthy pimp who brought pornography out of the back streets onto the main streets and did enormous damage to women across the globe. And to think in any way today that people are celebrating this man who commodified and monetized women's bodies and made a fortune off the buying and selling of female flesh is just, as I said, stomach-churning.
You've got Kim Kardashian West, Alicia Banks, Nancy Sinatra amongst the female celebrities who have been paying tribute to him.
That doesn't make any difference, and that doesn't change it, the fact that women are doing it. The reality is that it's not about individual women or individual men. It's about the fact that, as a group, Hugh Hefner destroyed women's chances for full equality by turning us into sex objects. We were already seen as sex objects. What he did is a very visual depiction of that and talked about the fact that women belonged in the kitchen and in the bedroom with legs spread. He was a reactionary. This man was no great sexual revolution liberal. He was a right-wing reactionary who hated women. He used to refer to them, by the way, in the actual meetings when they're deciding what centerfold to put in. He used to refer to women as dogs. That's how much he thought about women. And I actually wrote my PhD thesis on Hefner and read all the biographies, the autobiographies, all the analysis. This man was a complete woman hater and turned his woman hating into a multi-billion dollar business.
And let's just hear the clip of how he described himself in an interview back in 2003.
Properly understood, Playboy and the Playboy clubs were the end of sexism.
Yeah.
In other words, the truth of the matter is the real sexist era came before Playboy. Mm-hmm. And Playboy played a very real part in changing all of that.
What do you make of that?
Well, of course he's going to say that. I mean, one of the things I say to Hefner, and it kills me to say it, he was a very, very smart businessman. And what he realized was that in the period of the 60s, when feminism took hold, he couldn't do battle with feminism. And by the way, there was a memo leaked in the 50s that a secretary of his leaked, and he said, we have to do battle with these feminist chicks. And what became clear was he couldn't do battle with these feminist chicks. What he had to do was co-opt feminism. And that's exactly what that quote is saying. Let's co-opt feminism because it's the only way today in the 60s and 70s that we can sell our magazines. Because he couldn't come out for what he was, which was a reactionary, woman-hating pimp.
Why then do so many women get involved with Playboy, either as part of the magazines or the videos or the TV channels, the clubs, the mansion? Why do so many women flock to it?
Well, the same reason that Hefner did, money. Only the difference is the women who were used as the fodder for Playboy were not multimillionaires. They didn't build mansions. These were poor women, often doing what's called survival sex. They were often groomed. Hefner had a whole group of men who would fan out across the country looking for girls who were basically young girls, 18 I assume, but probably some were younger, who were vulnerable, poor, and he would bring them to the Playboy mansion. He would have them used as prostituted women and then throw them out. Women always have had to sell their bodies because in this society it is impossible for women, the poor, especially poor women, to make a living that puts food on the table for children, for their children, and women will do anything to feed their children. And if it means having to sell their bodies, then you've got a ton of pimps like Hefner who are just only too happy to jump in and exploit these women. So of course he's going to say that.
Jennifer Gannon is a regular on the programme on television and pop culture issues. What's your assessment of Hugh Hefner and his legacy, Jennifer?
I mean, he made subjugation look enticing because he sold himself as this post-war radical sexual pioneer. And Playboy was embedded then with gonzo journalists at the time, politicians, actors, directors, photographers, all those people in the know, male, actually a lot of, you know, male writers, male photographers, male directors. And it made it look like if you were anti-Playboy, you were anti-carefree sex, you're anti-shameless sex. And like everybody knows that, you know, the winners from the 60s sexual revolution was the patriarchy. But the way that he sold Playboy as this lifestyle, it made women want to be part of it almost. So, I mean, he was very clever and calculated with the way he did it. I mean, Playboy in some way was this weird embodiment of America. Like, it existed in this almost movie land space of, you know, Marilyn Monroe, of cowboys, yellow cabs. It's almost a type of an American dream to disrobe for this old man in a dirty bathrobe that looked like a tortoise. That became a rite of passage for people like Kim Kardashian or people like Paris Hilton, because the way he sold it, it almost felt like there was a certain allure to be feasted over in this way, and that, you know, this was another rung on the ladder to eventual success.
Well, what about his supporters who would say, what about his supporters who would say that he allowed for greater freedom of expression, greater enjoyment by people who regarded sexual freedom as something of enhancing their life?
For men, not for women. I mean, if you look at Playgirl, they launched Playgirl. Playgirl was a disaster because it was still the male gaze. They didn't understand what female sexuality was and how nuanced it is. And that's why it failed, because he actually, at the end of the day, doesn't understand women. He understood how to be a teenage boy for the whole of his life until he turned into a dirty old man. But he didn't understand what it was like to be a woman or acknowledge even female sexuality. It's still, you know, through the male gaze. And I think something like what might have, all the Gloria Steinem articles in the world wouldn't have changed a lot of people's minds, but I think what really changed people's minds is when he let the ETV cameras in for the girl next door, the reality TV show with Holly Madison and Kendra, a couple of his girlfriends, live-in girlfriends, and he saw how dingy and horrible the reality of living with Hugh Hefner was. They had Holly Madison picking up dog and monkey poo every day and waiting for a $1,000 allowance from her daddy, like Hugh Hefner. And it was just grim. And I think people just thought, you know what, that's it. A weird end of that kind of sexuality and sexualization that maybe we don't want to be part of anymore. So it is, his death is maybe the end of this era, which is, you know, possibly a really good thing.
Okay, lots of test messages coming in. One says, finally, someone calling it like it is with Hugh Hefner. The coverage is making my skin crawl all day. Creep, misogynist, sexist and disillusional. Ugh, says that listener. And yet, we have Dr. Gail Dines. Lots of people who are saying, oh, this is typical of feminists giving out about Hugh Hefner, that, you know, there's nothing to be, there's no harm in the guy at all.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, anyone who follows what happened with Playboy, and I think your previous guest did it beautifully, anyone knows what happens with Playboy, which is you have the second wave feminist movement that said, we want equality. We want gender equality, we want sexual equality, we want economic equality. And what basically Hefner said was, you can't have any of that, but we're going to give you sex, lots and lots of sex, and you have to spread your legs for these guys. So what he did was he opened up a whole world for men. And very importantly, there's an economic factor to this, is that what he did was he didn't only commodify sexuality, which is what pornography does, he sexualized commodities. Because what he said in the post-Second World War America was that if you want to really be part of the middle class, you have to spend. And what is amazing when you look at the first editions of Playboy is that there's virtually no pictures of women. It's all about how to spend products. And so why he was so successful is he hooked himself in with mainstream American capitalism, and he used the girl next door as the hook to drag men in into consuming more and more products. That basically jump-started the American economy, the post-Second World War American economy. There's a whole economic section of this that no one analyzes, which is why Playboy was so successful, and it was all done on women's backs.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gail Dines, the author of Pornland, How Porn Has Hijacked Our Sexuality, and Jennifer Gannon. And one listener says, he was a legend. Any man who says they wouldn't swap places with Hefner for even one day is lying. Okay, listeners, would you swap places with Hugh Hefner, when he was alive, obviously, for one day?
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.